I earned my camping stripes early on as the daughter of an Eagle Scout. Every piece of equipment our family owned was Army issued. My sister and I slept in an 8-man green canvas tent that seemed to weigh hundreds of pounds. In inclement weather, the three of us girls would huddle in the middle, repeating our mantra over and over, "Don't touch the sides, don't touch the sides." One time when I was about 8, my father refused to cancel a scheduled trip to Assateague Island despite an approaching hurricane. The state park ended up shutting down, but that didn't deter my father. We just stayed at Chincoteague, which for some unaccountable reason was still open for business. He encouraged us to look on the positive side. Despite the lack of any services whatsoever, we had the whole place to ourselves. Imagine that. So you can see why, when Jeremy and I decided to buy a pop-up camper 4 years ago, I really felt like I was purchasing a luxury good. I thought, I will never suffer again. This has everything a girl could want and more. Except it didn't. We have mutually declared the pop-up both the best and worst decision we have made in our short time as parents. It was the best in that it changed the way we interact as a family, bringing adventure, joy, and flexibility into our boys' everyday experiences. It was the worst in that we were unable to go on a single trip without something going wrong. Every single time we set up or broke down, we could count on the hot water heater not lighting, or the roof not rising, or the door not snapping incorrectly, or you get the picture. Throw a couple of infants in the mix, and it becomes a bit of a challenge to stay cheery, you know? So when my husband began researching the next best thing, I put up my usual fight. But my heart really wasn't in it. I was ready for a bit of the good life. I had seen plenty of RVs in our travels, and I was ready for the real deal. And now I have it. It is with some reluctance that I admit to not missing the pop-up, even a little. I acknowledge the value it added to our lives, and I even cried a little when we left it at the dealership as a trade-in. But seriously, good riddance. Mama has a stove now and an outdoor kitchen. It's not even a contest. So now we still get to have all the adventure and joy with just a little less flexibility required. Down the road a bit, if I feel the boys are getting too soft, I'll just throw them into an army tent outside the camper in the middle of a good storm. Then they will learn to appreciate the luxury of our trailer as much as I do. Thanks, Dad. Coming up on episode 13 of RV Family Travel Atlas, the pros and cons of a travel trailer.
Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three young boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our family's adventures at livelylittlecampers.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
On this episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, it's all about the travel trailer.
We are sharing some personal stories about our own travel trailer, and you will find out why, sadly, an Airstream will probably never work for us.
We are also dishing on the pros and cons of a travel trailer. A perennial favorite for RVers, there is a floor plan out there that will fit any sized family.
But there also may be reasons why a pop-up, fifth wheel, or motorhome may be better for your family, and we'll discuss that too.
And then we have our first ever movie review. If you are in the mood for some campy RV fun, you better put the long, long trailer with Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz on your Netflix queue.
All of this and a fun giveaway on episode 13 of RV Family Travel Atlas, an ode to the travel trailer. Before we head into tonight's featured topic, the pros and cons of travel trailers, we have some business to wrap up here at RV Family Travel Atlas. Right, Stephanie?
Yep, we've got some winners.
So the Appalachian Mountain Club generously offered to give us 3 copies of Discover Acadia National Park in our last episode, and we randomly selected the winners before this week's show. So congratulations to Jean, Chris, and Brenda. We'll be sending you guys copies of Discover Acadia National Park. And this was really our go-to guide for Acadia, was it not, Stephanie?
We talked a lot about some of our favorite hikes that we took in Acadia over the last 3 visits that we've been there. And
on last week's episode, correct?
Yeah, on last week's episode. That was episode 12. And we use this book a lot. So it's a great resource. And, you know, Jean and Chris and Brenda are getting a free copy, but you can buy a copy over on outdoors.org.
Yeah, outdoors.org or at Amazon. And these are a whole line of travel guides for New York and all the states in New England. And they're beautiful books. They're well designed and they have great maps and really kind of like insider information on the best hiking, biking, and paddling for Acadia. Now, I bought 2 more of these this week because I love these so much and I'm gearing up for next summer. So I bought Outdoors with Kids for Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont, and I'm super excited to try this out next summer. And I also bought AMC's Best Day Hikes in Vermont. So these are great books, and we want to thank the AMC and encourage you to head over to www.outdoors.org and check out their website. And again, congratulations to Jean, Chris, and Brenda. Now, we also have 1 more poster to give away from the Creative Action Network. And actually, I should say print, because these are beautiful works of art. Right. They're more than just posters. So the Creative Action Network agreed a while back to give us 3 posters to give away to readers. There I go again with the posters, prints. And we've given away 2, and this is the last one we're going to give away. So, Stephanie, what is it that we love about the See America series of posters by the Creative Action Network? Because we adore them.
Yeah, and as we've said before, this sort of project brings together just a few things that are really important to us. First of all, we love traveling, but we love traveling within America. I mean, we've been, you know, all over the world, but we really do love sort of the concept of the American road trip.
Absolutely.
And the See America Project celebrates that through art. So we just very much identify with that. Now, in addition to that, it's these artists who are creating this in this kind of crowdsourced fashion. So we really feel like when we go on to the website and we look around at the different locations and look for a piece of art, that we are supporting working artists in our country. And we're buying in a way from like these small businesses instead of the larger websites that you can get prints from.
There are so many prints to choose from too. You can search by state. Mm-hmm. They have them for all the major national parks. A lot of them are in sort of a cool retro style like the original See America posters. But then there are some that are also more modern.
Absolutely. And another thing is a perfect gift price point. You know, in that $20 to $30 range,
yeah, prices
you can
are reasonable.
Find things. And then you can also upsell by looking at the framing that they have. And we got a framed copy.
Yeah, we got a Cape Cod poster this week.
They had a sale.
There was a Black Friday sale. So we ordered a Cape Cod print and it showed up and the packaging was beautiful and the print is gorgeous. And I can't wait to hang it up tomorrow, actually.
Yeah. So we're big fans of the Creative Action Network. We love the See America Project. And we really encourage you, if you have to buy a gift for someone that you know that travels or for yourself, head on over to their website and you'll find something.
Yeah, I mean, our thing is like after we get home from a trip, then we go and buy a poster from these guys, right? So, Stephanie, how can our listeners win the last of the 3 prints?
Okay, so we really appreciate the reviews that you guys have been giving us on iTunes.
Yeah, we got a bunch this week, and we really do appreciate it.
And it's really kind and generous of you to take your time to go on there, and we appreciate it. It also really helps us with our rankings on iTunes. It helps us become more visible in, like, when people search for our RV podcast.
Absolutely.
So we would love it if some of the thousands of people who are downloading these episodes would head on over and give us a review. If you do and you email us and you just tell us the review that you left us, we will enter you in to win that. Our listener JP won the last one.
Yeah, he selected a Yosemite poster. I forget by which artist. He was pretty pumped.
Yeah. And we also have a couple of other people that had entered reviews.
Previously, we're going to throw you guys back in the mix to try and win this one.
Right. So the only person who's given us a review that is not eligible for this contest is JP.
Sorry, JP. You know we love you anyway.
But everybody else is getting thrown into the mix. And then if you go and you give us another review, we'll add you into the contest and you'll win and we'll win.
No, was it 4 or 5 stars only?
Right. Yeah. Oh, totally. Don't email us and you're like, oh, I gave you guys
a 3-star review.
That's not going to fly.
That's not going to work. You can't win a poster.
Come on.
But anyway, look, I have a feeling we're going to be talking about the See America series again in a future episode. Like, you know,
we're fans. We like things that we're fans of.
And I think we're going to talk about them again. Now, we want to remind you of one of our best contests yet that's actually still running. We left this one open for quite a while because it was kind of a pretty big prize.
Yeah.
So we are giving away, in coordination with the Philadelphia Westchester KOA, 2 nights of free camping at one of our favorite campgrounds. Yeah. In a sense, our home campground, even though it's in another state. Now, this is for an RV site or for 2 nights in a cabin or credit towards a deluxe cabin, which is roughly buy one, get one night free.
It would be.
Now, that this contest runs out in 5 days.
5 days. So really, we're looking at this as like RV travel, family travel atlas is like Christmas gift to you. This is our Christmas gift that we're giving our listeners. We're picking it in 5 days. It'll
be this is a really
like
great
something
prize.
That you're going to unwrap for Christmas. Your 2-day getaway.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
How awesome is that?
Absolutely. So you just have to enter your email address on our website, the livelylittlecampers.com website, and you can enter to win.
Right there on the homepage, the widget is.
Yeah, now join us later in the show because we're going to be doing our first awesome film review of The Long, Long Trailer with Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. And we really love this kind of screwball comedy, so we're going to give away 4 copies of that movie. So join us later for instructions on how to win that.
Yeah, so if you don't get the 2-night getaway,
the consolation prize will be a
you can
copy
cuddle up.
Of The Long, Long Trailer.
You can cuddle up on the couch.
Yeah, it's good for a lot of laughs. So we'll be back in a minute with the pros and cons of travel trailers. So for tonight's featured topic, we're talking about the pros and cons of travel trailers. And this is kind of a follow-up to episode 2, I believe, of the podcast that we did way back when, the pros and cons of a pop-up camper. So we continue to get a lot of emails from people asking about what they should buy for their first RV. And we just figured we'd kind of make a series out of this. And since we also own a travel trailer, we have a lot to say. Now, we started off this week's episode with an old blog post by Stephanie that I loved, and I had asked her to read to start this week's show. So why did we like that blog post so much, both of us?
Well, I think that a couple of years into this whole adventure, just like 2 years after having the pop-up, all of a sudden we had a travel trailer. And when we bought that pop-up, we were not RVers. We were not campers. We had gone together a couple of times in our entire marriage.
2 or 3 times.
Yeah. This was not something that was a part of our life. So then all of a sudden, 2 years later, to be upgrading. Like, it was really a moment
we thought we'd have the pop-up camper for 10 years.
Sure. Oh, absolutely we did. We thought that that was going to be our family thing. It was like taking a pop-up camper vacation once a year or something. It was really unusual.
Now, as much as there are some awesome things about pop-up campers, we couldn't get rid of that bad boy soon enough.
Yeah. Well, but the thing was is that it was just, I think, kind of surprising for me to 2 years later be not only camping or, you know, RVing as many nights out of the year as we were, but then also to be upgrading to a thing that I never in my wildest dreams a few years earlier would have imagined myself owning.
Yeah, but I mean, once you get into the RV lifestyle, I think one of the things you realize is that people do upgrade a lot and they move more quickly than they think they are.
Because once you become a part of campground culture, you see, like, all of these
look at that fifth wheel. That's beautiful.
It's part of campground culture is to look at other people's campers.
Oh, and to be invited into other people's campers.
Yeah, we have been invited into so many people's campers.
Oh, the number of old ladies that have brought me into their RVs to show them around and show me the floor plans is
kind
of
crazy.
They don't
mind. They're like, come on in.
No, they don't mind at all.
No. So, I mean, I don't really tend to do that, but hey, I guess if anybody ever wants to come into my trailer, they can. But I really was surprised to find myself in that situation. And I was thinking about why I was so happy with it. Like, when we got our travel trailer, you kept asking me, like, Are you feeling sentimental about the pop-up? Are you looking back?
Well, you
and
said
thinking,
in the blog post that you cried a little
when we traded
in the pop-up camper.
And I think because it was such a symbol of a change that had happened, like over the course of those years.
To be honest with you, if we trade in the travel trailer one day for a motorhome, which
it's like a piece of our family history.
It's like another child.
Yeah.
You know, it is like a family member. Stephanie's giving me a face.
I don't think that way at all. I think it's like
a child that you keep out in the driveway.
No, it's not that. It's the scene for your family moment. It's
right.
The setting.
It's like selling a house, I guess.
It's not the thing itself. It's where the memories happen.
Right.
And it is like a house. It's you picture certain events happening with that as a prop, you know, as a setting in your life. And it is special. But, you know, I realized the reason why I didn't miss it, or I really wasn't. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, sentimental. But I wasn't, like, at all regretting the decision to move up to a travel trailer was because I had let go of my idea of camping from childhood.
Right, of tent camping and what it means to camp.
When we first started out with the pop-up, I was camping like we used to tent camp when I was a child. I was packing coolers and I was barely using the indoor, you know, the range inside the gas range or the refrigerator.
We were bringing coolers.
It took me a while to realize I had outlets.
Right. One of the title of that blog post that you didn't read the title was, can we still call it camping?
Right.
Because, you know, your dad and other people would joke around and say, well, that you're not camping.
My mom said the first time she saw it, you're dragging your house behind your truck. And I was like, yep.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't find that to
love
be a criticism at all.
Yeah.
Because I was like, yeah, I've got three. At the time, I had two kids. I've got two really young kids and I'm going all over. Like, yeah, I'm dragging my house with me. It just makes it nice. And I just had fully embraced at a certain point. I was like, I love this. I love the fact that getting ready to go on a trip is not like a mind-boggling proposition like it can be with camping. Getting all the equipment together and the supplies.
Pack a little bit every night.
Oh, like it was just so easy compared to that. And I had stopped feeling like I wasn't roughing it or I wasn't doing it right.
Yeah.
And I had started to feel like this is our thing.
Yeah. So tonight we're saying the pros and cons of a travel trailer. In some ways, it is an ode to the travel trailer because for us, there are more pros than cons. But let's dive in and talk about the things that we love and some of the things that maybe are a little problematic.
There's more pros than cons at this point because we're very happy with it.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
we're travel trailer people.
You mostly talk a lot about the next upgrade. So in a sense, there are cons to it that have caused you to really think, I would love.
Yeah, we would love a motorhome. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like when we first bought the pop-up, somebody said, oh, everybody ends up in a 40-foot Class A. And I thought, well, yeah,
not us.
And now I'm like, yeah, yep, we'll end up in a 40-foot Class A. God willing. But anyway, let's dive into the pros, the things that we love about our travel trailer and travel trailers in general. And along the way, we'll compare travel trailers to pop-ups, fifth wheels, Class Cs, Class As. So the first real pro is that you can get great bunk bed options and bunkhouse options for kids. So if you're a family with one kid, two kids, three kids, four kids, five, whatever, travel trailer is going to be a great option for you because they sleep a lot of kids and you can actually have a bedroom in the back.
Yeah. The bottom line is that when you go into some of the bigger rigs, like the Class A's and everything, it's so funny how they're so much bigger.
The bigger they are, the fewer they sleep. That's the saying.
And we'll go in and let me tell you something. Those big recliners, they look awesome. All that, the fireplace
or
whatever.
Where do the kids sleep?
But that's always our first question is, okay, this isn't for us.
Because there ain't no kids sleeping in those Class A's. They're not really designed for the family of four or five.
So you can, and I know we actually have a lot of grandparents that read our blog and that listen to this podcast and they email us a lot. And we just love that they are talking to us about how we're impacting their travel with their grandkids. Like that's really special to us.
Right.
And so travel trailers can also be great for that because they offer usable space for when you bring a kid along with you, but not necessarily when you have them like all the time.
Yeah, but for the larger family, the travel trailer, you know, maybe like along with the fifth wheel, that's just a great option for beds. Now our Jayco has a quad bunkhouse.
Mm-hmm.
We have four bunk beds in the back of the RV.
Very hard to find actually.
Yeah, it's I mean you can definitely find it's very hard.
A lot of them have like the dedicated bunks. Right, the double bunks. And then like a couch that can fold down into a third bed.
Yeah.
But for us, we really believe that our boys love like an actual bed that they get to put all of their bedding
we
in.
We want
and everything.
Dedicated beds. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be folding down couches or folding down dinette tables. We want everyone to have their bed. And the quad bunkhouse has worked really nicely for this. Now, in other models, not like ours, you can also get a bunkhouse with a slide, and it's literally like your kids will have a bedroom, right?
Oh, yeah, with a lot of floor space. And I mean, ours isn't like that at all, but we've been in a lot of them at RV shows.
Yeah, so if there are kids in the family, this is a major plus for travel trailers. Mm-hmm. Now, the second pro. We also really like the size and variety of the indoor and outdoor kitchens in travel trailers. Now, in a Class C, you're often going to get a smaller kitchen. In a pop-up, you're going to get a smaller kitchen. The travel trailer typically offers a fairly spacious kitchen, and now so many of them have the outdoor kitchens.
Right, so you see this mostly on the travel trailer and the fifth wheel, I feel like.
Yes.
So, and within the travel trailer, I feel like the kitchen spaces, both of them, the indoor outdoor, are dedicated spaces that can be used without really impacting the rest of the
movement. We have a 33-foot travel trailer, and I think we have a spacious RV kitchen.
I'm fine with our kitchen. It's fine.
Like, there's counter room to spare,
and I always have enough room because the table's right behind me, and I can like chop and everything on the table. Now, some of the newer models, a lot more of the newer models have that island. Right, that's something.
Oh, we like that.
And right, so
like
and,
with the sink.
Right, so they put the sink and a little island with a space then, and like the stove behind you. I don't have that, but I can. So I use the table behind me as like for prep and chopping and everything like that. But the island.
Islands are a great trend in travel trailers right now.
They are.
You're seeing those in Jayco and Winnebago. And
for someone who cooks in their travel trailer, it's nice.
Yeah, and it also makes the kitchen and the living area more kind of a more social, communal area to some degree. And now I don't know that we thought we'd use our outdoor kitchen so much, but we really use it.
I like it. I like it a lot. I mean, I still, even though I said I do cook in our travel trailer, a lot of the time what I do is I kind of like prep everything in there and then I carry things out to cook. We have two burners outside and I love this because I don't like boiling water and stuff in the travel trailer. I just feel like it gets like hot or like steamy. I don't know. And the smells. Like I would prefer to cook outside when I can.
Yeah, if it's nice that you grill outside and do burgers outside.
It has two burners and then it has the grill that like kind of comes out from it.
Right.
Great workspace there. And so I can like boil a big, huge pot for like if I'm doing a shrimp boil or for corn or anything like that.
Right.
And I can grill up any meat all at the same time and it works very well.
And you're not going in and out of the trailer to finish dinner up.
Love it. Well, oh, and there's the refrigerator.
Well, I love keeping cold drinks in the fridge. And, if you're having a campfire, you don't have to go into the RV and, possibly wake up the kids to get a cold drink.
We use the outdoor refrigerator.
I actually think, and some people might disagree with me, I actually think travel trailers offer more outdoor kitchens than even fifth wheels.
Like, if you really look through fifth
wheels. I don't think there's as many great outdoor kitchen options as the travel trailer. Okay. But either way, that's a great pro, indoor and outdoor kitchens. Now, the next thing is the great amounts of storage space that a travel trailer provides, as opposed to like a pop-up camper. Storage is going to be very tough and you're going to have to open and close it.
Well, every single time in a pop-up, you have to pack everything up. And then when you open it up, you have to unpack it all. In a travel trailer, it is so easy to
open the door, go in.
Oh, to just keep it packed. And I will tell you this, I have never, and we've done, what's our longest trip?
16 days.
Okay. I have never used up all of our storage space in the pantry.
Not even close, actually.
No. And I grocery shop, I still have room in my cabinets.
Our kids are little. Like, we bring a lot of stuff with us. I mean, there are diapers, there are clothes, there are bicycles. We bring a lot of stuff. And I feel like we have never maxed out our storage in the travel trailer.
No.
And we have a 33-foot travel trailer, which is sort of moderately sized. I mean, slightly on the larger size. More standard size might be the 28, 29-foot travel trailer. You're going to have a ton of storage space for your family, which you will not have in a pop-up camper. And you will definitely not have in a Class C motorhome. I mean, if you want that kind of storage, you need a fifth wheel or a Class A. So we love the storage bins all over the place. And there's just a lot of smart storage in our
Jayco. Well, it just makes it easy when you can put something somewhere and it's going to stay there for your whole trip. Yeah. You don't have to put it there and then like move it around while you're staying in your trailer for your trip.
Yeah, and there are storage bins we've never even used. Right. You know, like underneath
that's what
the
I'm saying.
Seats.
We could bring even more than we do.
Of course, you want to watch your weight limits. Okay, we're not saying just to load it up and go over your weight limit because that's how tires blow out. So the next pro in the travel trailer is that the wide variety of floor plans. I mean, there are just so many options within the world of travel trailers, and you're not going to have that many options in the world of pop-ups. You're definitely not going to have that many options in the world of Class Cs. Again, you'd have to kind of go up to like the fifth wheel to get this wide variety of floor plans. There's something out there for every family. So, yeah. I mean, would you agree when we've gone to RV shows, you just see so many configurations of floor plans?
Well, yeah, between size and also the layout. Like, it is really a range from the person traveling by themselves, to be comfortable, all the way up
Absolutely.
To I know I have a friend with six children, and they have a travel trailer. And everybody has a dedicated sleep space.
Yeah, I mean, some of these travel trailers say they sleep 10 to 12. And mm-hmm. you're like, what? 10 to 12?
Yeah.
But when you fold down the dinette and flip the sofa over, you can sleep a mm-hmm. lot of people. And then I think Stephanie makes a good point. If you're just a couple traveling or even a solo traveler, maybe with dogs, you can have just a beautiful open floor plan, like those rear kitchen floor plans.
Yeah, well, that's what happens.
Wide open seating.
You know you're in the floor plan for two when you walk in and there's that wide open living room.
It's literally
it's
like
the recliner.
The size of our first apartment's living room.
And the big window along the back.
Oh, those big gorgeous windows along the back we love.
Like,
whether
not for
you're
us.
Traveling solo, whether you're traveling as a couple, mm-hmm. whether you're traveling with like 6 to 8 kids, yeah. there's a travel trailer out there for you. And that's not true in every type of RV, really. It's not true at all. Now, the next pro for travel trailers is that we like the fact that we can get to the campground, unhitch the truck, and have that truck to explore the area,
yeah.
right?
Right, and it's our family vehicle.
It's the truck I drive to
it's
work every day.
So part of our, like, ongoing conversation about going up to, like, a Class C is the whole, do you tow or don't you tow?
Because do you tow a car behind you?
Right.
Right.
Because, okay, you've got a Class C, and you're driving across country. Well, like, do you want to tow a car? No, because you just left, you just got out of the trailer. You don't want to be towing something.
Yeah, that's a huge part of the appeal is like, I don't want to hitch
towing.
Up anymore.
No.
Like, I don't want to hitch anything up. I just want to hop in and drive
yeah,
away.
Right.
But then you realize, wait a second, if I show up at the campground with my 33-foot Class C and hook everything up, electric, water, and sewer, and then we want to go out to dinner, I've got to unhook everything.
Can you imagine?
Or you've got to tow a car.
Right.
So,
but we also, it's not just going out to dinner. We go everywhere. When we visit a place, we don't just
right.
hang out at the campground.
Yeah, we're more often
like
than not
explorers.
Away from the campground.
Yeah, we
so
love to drive
So we love having
around.
The truck, which is then also used as our family truck.
So the problem is we wouldn't even have really a good car
no,
to tow. Because we're a family of five. We have two
bigger
cars.
Vehicles. Because a Class C is going to tow about 5,000 pounds max, so you're going to need a relatively small car to tow behind it. We don't even have that car, and I think a lot
right.
of families probably don't have that small
it's
car.
It's almost like the flip side of like the truck upgrade. Like some people don't have a big enough truck for the trailer they want or
right.
the fifth wheel they want, and so they want to get a bigger truck. We feel like we wouldn't have a small enough car to
yeah.
tow.
So, if we were going to get some, $75,000 Class C, then we might have to go buy some little car.
I got to buy a car now?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's
yeah,
a tough call.
Yeah, it stops us in our tracks, but you don't have to worry about that with the trailer. You can find, the thing about the trailer is you can find an option that you can tow with your family vehicle.
And that leads into the next pro. So the thing that we really love about travel trailers right now is that there's been a real movement towards what the industry calls ultralight travel trailers. Now, you can tow a good-sized travel trailer with the right SUV, a smaller travel trailer with the V6 minivan.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually have that sort of family car or family SUV and tow a travel trailer with it.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said for the fact that you can enter in to the RV lifestyle without worrying about a car upgrade, because I think that for us, that was one of the trickiest parts, because we kind of like needed a new car, but we wanted something different than what we might have to get because of the pop-up. It was a source of stress.
It gets complicated, right? Having to figure out cars
but
and RVs.
But if you can, like recently I was talking to someone who is interested in trying out an RV, and she has a Honda Pilot. And she was saying, I want to find something that we could tow with my car. And I said, you can.
Yeah, that Honda Pilot would probably tow 3,500 pounds. Right. And there are certainly, these are smaller travel trailers, mm-hmm. grant you, or hybrid travel trailers. But there are models that are towable by that size
of an
SUV.
You have an option for that if you want it.
Yeah, so we love that movement in the industry. And look, you're not going to tow a fifth wheel with an SUV. It's not even possible.
Well, that's,
right?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
every other upgrade, right? You have to have a vehicle.
Yeah, I mean, if you want a fifth wheel, you need that really expensive heavy-duty pickup truck. Now, the last pro for travel trailers, and this one I think is kind of the most important one to me, or the one that I find most impressive about travel trailers, is you get incredible bang for your buck with a travel trailer.
Something that we did not know.
No, we didn't know.
When we were buying our first camper. And it's almost like we feel like we have to point to this a lot, because we do have a lot of people that listen and that read our blog that don't actually own RVs. They want to own RVs, or they're thinking about it, or they're like wondering about it. So for those people, we feel like it's so important to emphasize, even though you think the pop-up is the entry-level, most affordable price point, that may not be true.
It's the most affordable, but it's not the most bang for the buck. So look, our RV, just to lay it out on the line here, our Jayco travel trailer was about $23,000. Our first pop-up camper was about $13,000.
Yeah.
Now, our travel trailer feels like 10 times more RV to me in terms of space, in terms of amenities, in terms of the kitchen, the outdoor kitchen. So really, to me, a new pop-up camper is not a bargain. It's not bang for the buck, really, necessarily. Where a travel trailer is, you can get an awesome new travel trailer for probably less than $20,000.
Right. You can. I mean, we have some bells and whistles because we were upgrading. Like, you
Our White Hawk is not a luxury travel trailer, but it has everything in it we want
or
need.
Which is kind of like how we do cars, too. Like, we don't buy bot, you know?
Yeah,
luxury,
you know, it feels luxury to me. I mean, you could spend a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing is, if you're going to move up to a fifth wheel, to me, again, I mean, you're getting a lot of RV for the money, but it just gets more expensive. You're talking $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 even, depending on the fifth wheel.
And a different truck. That,
exactly. You need that heavy-duty pickup truck.
With equipment inside. I don't even understand what happens there.
Anyone out there who knows trucks knows that once you move up from a half ton into a heavy-duty pickup truck, the prices get really high. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a new heavy-duty pickup truck, you're talking $40,000, $50,000, $60,000.
And for some people who also have, and this is true in the RV world, some people have jobs that also use those trucks.
Construction worker, landscaper.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people that we see at campgrounds, they're using the power of that truck in other capacities.
I have some guy friends with heavy-duty pickup trucks, and I say, look, you have the most expensive part already.
Yeah.
You know, the RV is less expensive than the truck you're driving, right? Now, also compared to like a Class C or a Class A motorhome, I also feel that the travel trailer is an incredible value. Because you could put it this way. You could buy a brand new pickup truck and a brand new travel trailer, like a nice travel trailer and a nice pickup truck, and still spend less than you would on a brand new Class C motorhome. Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot of value built into the travel trailers out there today.
And thinking about it that way is really important, because people have said, like, if something goes wrong with the engine on your Class C, like, that's expensive.
Yeah, and you're not necessarily taking that to STS around the corner. You know, it's expensive to have maintenance done on motorhomes.
It's a different phone call. It's not a AAA.
The maintenance is pretty low on a travel trailer. If you take care of it, you know, there's not a lot of moving parts like the pop-up. It does not have its own engine like the Class C. So we feel like out of all the RVs out there, the travel trailer gives you the best bang for the buck. So we'll be back in a minute to talk about some of the negatives of travel trailers. There aren't that many, just a few.
We're biased.
So now we want to talk about some of the cons of owning a travel trailer. And there's not too many, but there's definitely a few things that we've learned not to like over the last 2 years of travel trailer ownership. Now, we said that the bedrooms for the kids are great, and they can be spacious, and you can have slide-outs, and it's kind of like a real bedroom. But the bedrooms for the adults in a travel trailer are not that nice, actually.
Yeah, they're a little cramped. And I have to say that that's been the hardest part for me of moving from the pop-up to the travel trailer, is we lost that airy feeling
and a gigantic bed
yeah,
in the pop-up camper.
Yeah, we had a big bed.
A bigger bed.
But our bedroom has two little windows, like mini windows, and one of them opens.
Yeah, you
and
don't like
that at
all.
And one of the things that I love is having all of the windows open at night,
right.
You know,
so it feels like you're
like
like rammed into a closet.
And it's dark, and it's like, you know, you really do miss that. I think I see some of the older models, and I think maybe this is coming back a little bit, had that big window across the back. Now,
right.
What I've seen in some of the newer models is they're turning the bed around, right? Some of the slide outs.
Well, what they're doing now, because, I mean, the RV industry realized, hey, we're building travel trailers that have awesome rooms for the kids, and then mom and dad are shoved. And if you don't know travel trailers, the bedrooms typically tend to be right at the front, up mm-hmm. near the hitch. So you walk in the door, turn right, and then the bedroom's
the bedroom,
there. And
right.
It just, it's not private, and it's not mm-hmm. big, and it's hard to even walk around the bed. So now the RV industry is toying around, and sometimes now they're moving the bed all the way to the rear of the travel trailer and putting it on a slide out, which creates a really nice spacious bedroom. So we like that trend.
And then when they do that and they move the bed to that other wall that slides out, oftentimes you see that big panoramic window again at the back.
Right. Yeah.
Of
I mean,
camper.
Yes, Stephanie wants a big window in her bedroom, and
I don't blame you.
I don't blame you.
I'm in a beautiful
place.
Yeah,
so we feel kind of
see out.
Yeah, we kind of feel like we're locked in a closet up there. Now, if you're going to get one of these new travel trailers that has the bedroom in the back with the slide, you're looking at a 37 or 38 foot travel trailer. They're not doing that in a smaller travel trailer. So, one of the pros, nice bedrooms for the kids. One of the cons, maybe not so much for the adults. Now, the other thing we've noticed, and we've heard a lot of people mention this, we actually had somebody write in on the Facebook page, I believe it was Chris, who said, the bathrooms are small, and our bathroom is small.
Yeah.
Now, look,
I mean,
there are exceptions to the rule. There are travel trailers with nice bathrooms, but I tend to think that travel trailers have smaller bathrooms than fifth wheels, Class Cs, and Class As.
Okay. I love my tub, and I'm perfectly happy in our size shower. So, and I have given all three of our boys a bath.
Yeah, when they were little. That's not going to happen next summer.
But my point being is that this seems to be more of an issue maybe for men. People that maybe
yeah,
bigger.
Like when I close the door, I mean, I barely fit in there,
like,
you know, like my knees hitting the door,
you're like
for goodness
jammed
sake.
In, yeah.
Now, I have a theory for this. I was thinking, like, why does it seem like all of these other types of RVs have more spacious bathrooms? And I think that this is the deal here, guys. This is the skinny, is that travel trailers have more beds for kids, generally, because they're more made for families. So if you're going to have a bunkhouse or quad bunks in the back, you're going to lose space on the bathroom, okay? So that's not in every unit, but it's in a lot of travel trailers. And that's one of the things that you don't notice so much when you're shopping. Oh, the bathroom's small.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's something
it's
you notice
true.
After being
yeah.
on vacation for a week.
Yeah. And somebody, your kids,
small.
You know, at home when the kid runs in to the bathroom, it's like, oh, no big deal. When you're in your camper and your kids are running into the bathroom and there's no room in there, you're like, ah.
Yeah, so it's something to think about. You know, pay attention to the size of that bathroom in a travel trailer. Now, the next con is that, you know, depending on the size of your travel trailer, they can be challenging to get gas with.
Right. So here's the thing. You look at these quote-unquote huge RVs. You're like, wow, that's a big Class A. What sometimes you don't realize is that you're longer than they are.
We are absolutely longer. We have a 33-foot travel
right.
trailer, and
yeah.
our truck is 17 to 19 feet. Yeah. I forget. So we are about 50 feet long. We are 10 feet longer than a 40-foot
yes.
Class A.
Right. So it's really funny because they look so
big,
but
you don't think
driving.
About it until
no.
you're pulling into a gas station.
Okay. So we have grown a lot in this area, but I would have to say that our biggest fights in our entire history.
Our RVing history.
Yeah, right. RV. Let's not get crazy.
We've had bigger fights about non-RVing things.
Have been about gas stops.
Yeah, I mean, it can get pretty stressful when you really need gas, when you're running low on gas, and you pull into a gas station and you just don't think you can get in and out.
Right. And Jeremy tends to – he panics.
You know what? I wish you wouldn't say
no,
that.
No, because
I
you get like
– I would wish you would put that in the past tense that I used to panic. Well, I don't think I panic anymore.
Well, now we have our system down. We figured out that we can back out.
Yeah, we mentioned this in episode 2 when we talked about pop-up campers. You know, we pull in to get gas and then we just – Stephanie hops out and we reverse that bad boy right out of there.
We don't even pull in all the way.
I don't try to
like,
pull through.
No, but I remember one time it was tight, but we were like almost all the way through and he was worried about pulling out the other side and being able to make the turn.
And like running over like, you know, the gas station.
Yeah, sure. Nobody
basically
wants to take out a gas pump. But here's the thing. We had pulled in and you were so stressed about being able to get out that you were like, Let's just go. And you wanted to just pull through. But we already were there.
My
like,
first
we might
car
as well get
was
gas.
A Pontiac Le Mans. My second car was a Ford Focus. Okay, 52 feet of truck and RV is a lot. Yeah. And I have to say, last summer I kicked butt, okay? We really did. And with
well,
your
and
help.
I think
with
it was teamwork.
Help.
I think
it is teamwork. And you need to use the second person there. The person driving, the other person needs to hop out and help. And
make sure. I've stopped cars. I'm like, I put up my hand. I'm like, you need to wait
Stephanie
there.
Oh, Stephanie just jump out in the middle of the road, like on the interstate, and just be like, hold on a second, people.
I just say, like, look, just wait right there and we'll be out of your way.
Yeah, and in
like,
every state but New Jersey, people are really nice about waiting for you. For some reason, people in New Jersey see an RV, they speed up and go around you. In every other state, they'll, like, steer clear. Now, there's a couple other small cons. And to some degree, these are just things that we like about motorhomes to some degree. It can be kind of hard to level a travel trailer, right?
I mean, you got to, like, stack wood.
Yeah, you got to stack wood. You got to adjust it. You got to get everything right.
There's people that use a level. There's people that put something on the floor and watch and see if it rolls. You know, I have my own little quick trick.
We see if the bathroom door swings
open. I open the bathroom door and I leave the bathroom door open to see if it swings closed or not.
You know, if we don't get it totally level, whatever. You just camp. You have a great time. Who cares? But in a Class C motorhome or a Class A, they have automatic leveling jacks, right?
Wow.
You press a button and the whole camper just gets leveled for you while you sit there
with
a beverage in your hand.
There's always something else that's automatic on somebody else's rig. Like our friend that we camp with a lot has to, you know, crank his hitch.
Has to crank the stability jacks.
He has to do the hitch too. So he always is like, oh, there you
are.
I'm sitting
there
pressing
a button.
He's pressing a button and, you know, Joe's over there.
But the automatic leveling jacks in a motorhome, that looks awesome.
Yeah, we would like that. Because it is uncomfortable when you're somewhere for a week and it's not quite level and you kind of feel like everything's on a slant. It's a little uncomfortable.
It is. Now, one of our last con, really, and it's really, again, it's more something we like about motorhomes. Travel trailers don't come with onboard generators. And we are really into having an onboard generator.
I think it's a con, and this is why. I'm happy with our travel trailer. And the only way you can talk me into a Class C is the generator argument. I'm not saying there aren't other benefits to moving up to a Class C for us for longer trips.
But the generator is a huge one.
The generator is what gets me. That's my real...
My wife just says that the onboard generator gets her.
Like words okay? I never should
so
say.
So like we are totally RV dorks at this point.
No, the idea...
The generator had her at the low.
Well, I've never had one, so I don't know. I imagine that
but
it would.
You know what Stephanie wants? She wants to be boondocking.
That's what I want. We talked about this before. I love the amenities and what a private campground brings for me as a mom right now.
With the little guys.
Absolutely. I love the fact that I can be traveling with an RV and know that I'm not going to be uncomfortable and I'm not going to suffer. Because having little kids is hard enough. We find the joy in it. We find the love in it. But it's not easy. Every day is a challenge with three young kids.
Yeah, so we want all the amenities of the family campground.
I don't
want
to suffer. And I love all of the things that make me feel like, you know what? If I have to do a load of laundry, I have to do a load of laundry. No big deal. Like, I don't have to worry that things are going to go bad. But the idea of being able to be in a little bit more of a remote area, a little more of a beautiful area, and have that same...
Or be in somebody's driveway.
Oh, my God.
I mean, we have friends that are like two blocks from the beach in Maine.
We have friends all across this country that live in beautiful places.
I mean, driveway surfing is like a really attractive and free option. Mm-hmm. And in the motorhome, with the generator, you could have the AC running and everything working.
Right. And, you know, eventually, like we've said, 10 years from now with our kids, it's not that big of a deal. You know, teenagers can lie there and be like, oh, it's so hot. But with little kids, it's like they have a way.
You're not going to sleep all night long.
No, they're going to drag you into their misery.
Right. No, I lied. We have one more con here on the list. With a travel trailer, there's no direct access to the bathroom or kitchen while you're driving. Now, we are not suggesting that in a motorhome you should hop up and walk around
and
make a sandwich or go to the bathroom.
That we're really not suggesting that because you hear people say that.
Yeah, it's not safe.
And I'm like, if I wouldn't unbuckle my kids in our pickup while we're driving, like the idea of doing that just because the refrigerator's right there or whatever, like –
Yeah, no, we're not being judgy here. If there's somebody out there listening who likes to hop up and make a ham and cheese while you're going 70 miles an hour.
No, I'm being judgy. I'm saying don't do it because you don't know. You never plan for an accident. An accident could happen at any given moment, and it could happen when you're trying to make coffee.
But when we say you don't have direct access, what we mean is like, you know, there are times when the boys need a potty stop, and in a motorhome it would be so nice to just pull over to the curb and not have to get out.
Because what we have to do
walk around.
We have to unlock
the door.
Put the steps down.
Put the steps, exactly.
Yeah, so it is. That process is easier, even if you're staying buckled the whole time you're driving, which I, regardless of what Jeremy says, believe you should firmly
That's
do.
Right. Well, and if it's, you know,
it's easy. You pull over to the side and nobody's out of
there's like cars whizzing by or pouring rain or whatever it is. And also we think it would be really nice in a motorhome to, you know, to pull into a Walmart overnight or whatever and not even have to go outside and just sort of walk right back
and
go to bed.
With the generator, you can run your AC overnight for that noise factor and just
for the
that
white noise.
Whereas when we've boondocked in the Walmart parking lot twice, it was hot enough that we had to have the windows open. But then the windows open.
Oh, let's not talk about that
sound.
Hot night at Walmart again. We talked about that night before.
There was two hot nights in Walmart.
So listen, for our next segment, we're going to be talking. We're
going to
be talking about Airstream travel trailers. Now, Stephanie, do you like Airstream travel trailers?
Of course. Who? Come on. All right.
They're beautiful.
Seriously, who
doesn't
love an Airstream?
They're iconic.
Right, people who are like, I would never like go camping in my entire life are like, oh, an Airstream.
Yeah,
I
Airstreams
mean,
are hip. Airstreams are cool.
Yeah. Way
Airstreams
cooler
are sexy. I'm going to use the word sexy on RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm sorry. I just used the word sexy. But
no,
they are. Now, for our next segment, I'm going to read a blog post that explains why Stephanie and I will probably never own an Airstream as much as we love and admire and adore those beautiful, silver, iconic Airstreams.
Know thyself.
So join us in a second. Stephanie and I went on our first tent camping trip to Assateague Island about 20 years ago. We had just started dating. We had both been there separately and loved it dearly, but had never been there together. So we did what most teenagers would have done. We invited all of our friends. About four of them said yes immediately, but on the night of departure, three of them canceled. So that left Stephanie and I heading south on an oh-so-romantic camping trip with my buddy Chris riding shotgun. The trip started out disastrously. We arrived on a late summer evening to discover that the campground was totally full. They didn't take reservations back then. We were totally bummed. So we drove around the Ocean City area until we found a campground with an open site. By the time we found one, it was late and we were cranky. Stephanie was especially cranky. To make things worse, I had no idea how to set up my new tent. While Chris and I wrestled with it in the dark, Stephanie paced, cursed, and wondered aloud why I hadn't practiced opening it at home. On a more profound level, she was probably wondering how she ever ended up camping with two such nincompoops. Eventually, we all fell asleep in the tent, with me in the middle. Sometime after midnight, I woke to the sound of Chris's roaring, cacophonous, coyote-like laughter. It sounded like he was laughing into a megaphone. Why? Because I had rolled over in my sleep and wrapped my arm around him like he was my security blanket, my favorite childhood teddy, and my mama on a stormy night all wrapped up into one. While Chris woke up the entire campground, I rolled over, put my arm around Stephanie, and immediately fell back to sleep. It had been a long, long day. When we woke up the next morning and started packing my Pontiac Le Mans, we realized that everyone was staring at us. We also noticed that the campground was a total dump. So we hightailed it out of there and lined up for a campsite back at Assateague, and thank God we got one. While we were setting up our tent again, a bit more quickly this time, I noticed a married couple on the site next to us sitting under the awning of a beautiful, silver, super sexy Airstream travel trailer. They were sipping cocktails and looking so relaxed, so sleek, so happy, like a Viagra commercial. And there I was, struggling with my tent again and getting ready to spend another romantic night with Stephanie and Chris. I had a profound realization at that point. I already knew that I wanted to spend my life with Stephanie, but I didn't know that I wanted to spend my life RVing with her. I wanted us to be that couple one day. We would buy an Airstream and see America. Well, 3 kids later, the Airstream hasn't happened, but the RVing has, in spades. You see, Airstreams are not really the best option for campers with kids, and that's okay. I love our Jayco travel trailer. I love Max, Theo, and Wes, and I love Stephanie. I have really found my bliss. As we were checking out Airstreams at a recent RV show, I asked Stephanie if she remembered that first camping trip with Chris. She said yes. I asked her if she could picture us traveling the back roads of America one day, towing a sweet Airstream like this one. She said, well, maybe. I was completely flummoxed. Why the heck not? Because according to her, and I quote, you really have to love each other to travel in an Airstream. Feeling a bit hurt, I asked her what she meant. There's not a lot of room in here, she replied. I looked around at the relatively cramped quarters of the Airstream and understood her perfectly. Some marriages are meant for slide-outs and bunkhouses, and that's just fine with me. Stay tuned for our first movie review and a great and fun DVD giveaway.
Just breezing along with the breeze.
Breezing along.
Trailing the trail.
Trailing the trail.
Roaming the sea.
Trailing and roaming. Like the birdies that sing in the tree.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Listen to me.
So I'm really excited to be sharing our first film review on RV Family Travel Atlas. Are you as excited as I am?
Well, we'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. Okay, so we're reviewing The Long, Long Trailer, which is just a really terrific screwball comedy starring Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. It was an MGM movie that came out in 1954, and it was a pretty big hit that came out at the height of their I Love Lucy fame.
Yeah, and you know, get this straight. It's entertainment.
It's not a classic.
You're not going to walk away with life lessons.
Yeah, this is, yeah, exactly.
It's
but, just but at the same time, I would totally watch this movie again and maybe watch it even 4 or 5 times. Like, I really did enjoy it. So if you're, you're into the RVing lifestyle, you will enjoy this movie. I can just about promise you. When it came out, Time Magazine said it was a wonderful slap happy farce. And it really is. Like, I don't even remember the plot, but we laughed and we had fun
well,
watching it.
We're about to review the movie, so I hope. I honestly don't know,
can't remember the plot. But the thing that we loved about it is that it gets all of the details of the RV lifestyle right. And they all ring true today, don't they?
I was shocked as we were watching it. I was like, this is so weird. Everything's the same. From her pulling out the brochures when she was trying to convince Nikki.
Right.
To buy the RV, and she had like drawers full of brochures, and she was going, look at how much room there is. We could fit everything in here. And then they go to the RV show, and it's like a little postage stamp.
It's
like,
tiny, and they have to go up and look at a bigger 40-foot RV.
Look at that big one.
Now, the RV show is awesome, though.
The RV show looked exactly
except there was a woman diving into a pool in the center of the show.
Everything was fancier in the 50s. Everything was fancier.
But that's what I want to see in an RV show today. It was better than an RV show today.
A woman diving
there's
into
a huge
a pool
in the middle of the RV show. There's this woman diving
it. But now you go and they have like the blow up jacuzzis.
That's true.
Okay, there's all that.
That's true.
It's still all that stuff.
What was really amazing too is the RVs looked really nice and they did not look that much. like today's no. RVs don't look better
like,
to me.
No, it wasn't like, oh, look at that old
oh,
RV.
Oh, those poor people had to go out RVing and those things. No, they were
all fancy.
They were all fancy. It was like a living room inside, mm-hmm. right? So we're going to play a clip from the RV show, right? Can you explain the clip a little bit that we're going
to
play?
Yeah, so like I said, they get there to the RV show looking for a specific RV that she had found, Tacy, had found in this brochure. And she was saying, look at the room, and it's the same price. It's only like $100 more than we were budgeting for rent this whole year, you know. So they get there, and they look at it, and it's
tiny, tiny.
Oh, just so tiny, they can't even stand up in it, you know.
And it's so funny, because there's like 10 other people looking through it, and they're all banging into each other, which is like what happens at an RV show.
What happens. So then they look across the way, and there's like the big rig.
The 40-foot, 3-ton New Moon.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And she's like, oh, I know we can't afford it, but there's no harm in looking, right? Which is like a famous last phrase.
Oh, totally.
The
and the salesman's
show.
Like, well, actually, if you just put a down payment on it, it right. only costs X amount of dollars
so
per month.
So they went looking at this small thing, and they end up talking through the financing and actually purchasing
the 40-foot New Moon.
Rig.
So let's cue the clip.
Couldn't ask for anything more than this, could you? No. I'm going to ask the salesman how much it is.
Now, Tacy.
Just for fun. Oh, pardon me. I know we couldn't possibly afford it, but could you tell me the price of this trailer, please?
Yes, it's $5,345.
I was afraid of something.
Of course, you wouldn't have to pay that all at once. All you'd have to do is put down a third.
Thank you very much. That's $1,750, isn't it?
Approximately, yes.
Thank you. Did you hear that, Nicky? $1,750. That's $50 less than the one we can't even stand up in.
It couldn't possibly be $1,750. That must be what you give him for the down payment.
That's what I say. $1,750. Oh, let's get it, Nicky, please.
What?
I'll save. I promise. I won't spend a cent on anything again as long as I live. Only I just want to have this for our home. Honey, we could do it, couldn't we? We wouldn't have to pay any rent. I'll cook all of our meals. Honest, I will. We won't have to go to any restaurants or hotels. And honey, there won't be any bellboys to bother us and no tips. And we just think of the money that we could save on our honeymoon alone.
10 minutes later, I started saving it.
So then, of course, after they go through all the financing and the taxes and everything like that, then they have to get all of the add-ons for the car. And that was one of my favorite parts because that always drives me crazy. Jeremy's always like...
Well, wait, stop. They actually had to buy another car.
Another
car. Salesman, after the transaction's completed, the salesman's like, oh, wait a second. Let's go check your car.
Yeah. And you know, it's just like this is what happens all the time.
Oh, it happened to us.
You need a better car. And then, you know, Jeremy was always like, well, you know... The hitch is going to cost this much, and the this is going to cost that. And I would be like, but that wasn't what
it's
I
like, yeah,
signed
it's like
up for.
It's like thousands of dollars just flying out the window and the extras.
Right. Oh, and every time you go into the store at the dealership, you've got like an armful. Right?
Yeah.
Of little things that will make your life perfect.
Yeah. So Desi's character gets a little bit flummoxed here.
Totally on point. There in that section.
Right. So what's this next clip going
to
be about?
So then he gets the new car. He brings it to the place where they're going to weld.
Some fancy-pantsy welding place.
They weld the hitch to it. They give him all the electric brakes.
And then they give him driving lessons.
Well, he has to go. He has to bring it home. And the guy's like, okay, you're driving at home. You're towing it for the first time. And he's in the passenger seat showing
And that actor was really funny.
Nicky, how to drive it home, you know? And he's screaming at him, brakes first, you know? And
trailer brakes first.
And Nicky's getting stressed, just like I feel like.
He's stressed the whole movie.
You were the first time you were driving it.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I think anybody pulling a travel trailer for the first time is, I think that's natural
and
probably smart to
this,
be a little stressed.
Well, this movie definitely showed that.
So let's,
newbie.
Let's head into this next clip where he's learning how to tow it.
The most important thing to remember is when you're going to stop, you put your trailer brakes on first or you'll jackknife.
Jackknife?
Yeah, you know, trailer and car like this. Saw it happen on a hill over here. The trailer tipped over, took the car right down the canyon after it. So remember, trailer brakes first. Trailer brakes first. These are your trailer blinker lights when you're going to turn left and when you're going to turn right. There's your trailer stop light. Now put your blinker lights on. Left, right, trailer brakes. Car brakes, lights, left, right, trailer brakes, car brakes. Okay, let's go. Ignition. Start it. Hit your brake off, put it in low, go, boy.
We were moving. I couldn't be sure whether I was pulling it or it was pushing me.
You'll get the hang of it. Just remember to allow for that extra length behind you when you turn. Always think of it as a train behind you. 40 feet of train.
Now, the other thing we really loved about this movie was the RV park culture that they showed from the 1950s. And like, again, it just felt so much like today's RV park culture. They pull in, everybody's friendly, the manager not just helps them get to their site, but actually tows the trailer to the site. And he's this, like, tan guy with his shirt off.
It's like a Florida kind of,
I think, like, it's like a California,
well,
right?
It is, but okay. it had that, you would imagine now.
Totally.
As being,
but
like,
there's kids running around playing, and everyone's walking up and saying hello to them, and before they know it, there's like 20 people visiting with them. It's just like friendly. And, like, I mean, we love that about RV park slash campground culture, you know? It's
just
like, it's a community.
Making it a little more extreme. And so obviously Tacy and Nikki are newlyweds, and they're like, oh, we gotta get out of here. Like, they want it there.
They want,
like,
out of this awesome RV park.
They want,
you know?
Yeah. And so they're like, Tacy's like, can't we just take it out into the middle of nowhere where it's just
nature?
So
they go boondocking.
So then the other option is to go boondocking, and they drive out into the middle of nowhere, and then they get caught in the mud.
Yeah, she literally ends up lying in the mud, and the trailer ends up, like, practically
it's
crashed in the woods.
Side.
And
I
that's
mean,
actually a pretty funny scene there.
They have to get towed out. They have to pay to get it
towed
out.
They have to sleep on a major slant first, though.
I mean, the whole scene, though, is so funny because it is that idea of everything, right? The idea of what it's going to be at a nice park where they take care of you, but then the idea of what it's going to be like in the middle of the woods in that romantic environment. And so many aspects of that, if you've been in those situations, you could really smile and laugh.
But again, just like so much like today, I mean, like, kind of like the difference between the boondocking and the private RV park, you know, it was like all the same back in the 1950s. Now, the last thing we really loved about it was the beautiful landscapes from the American West, right? I mean, there's actually some pretty scenery in this movie.
So the movie structure is pretty much stress point, then enjoyable tourism.
Enjoyable tourism.
Right, right. And I think that there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to be honest, there can be some stress in the RV lifestyle here and there.
If you stay at home, that happens. Or if you travel, that happens. And it just depends on, you kind of pick your poison. But so they go through this over and over again. And in between each of these arguments, they're like happily in the car, looking over at the scenic mountains.
Singing songs together.
Right, which we played coming in.
And we'll play again heading out.
Yeah, and they're in waterfalls, and she's collecting rocks from all the places they go
to. The movie really made me want to head out west and get out to Colorado. Now, we enjoyed this so much. We want to kind of share that joy with you. We want to give away 4 copies of this to our listeners, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so how can our listeners win a copy of The Long, Long Trailer?
All right, so again, you are going to give us
an iTunes review.
Oh, surprise!
We love our iTunes reviews, and we need them.
Yeah, we're 13 episodes into this podcast, and so we're still building an audience out there, and it really helps us out a lot. We appreciate our listeners, and we appreciate the feedback, too, from
our
listeners.
Just head over to iTunes, drop us a review, and then send us an email saying, hey, I dropped you guys a review. And the first 4 people that do that, mm-hmm. we are going to send a copy of The Long, Long Trailer to your house for a kind of a fun date night movie.
Yeah, there's no even raffle. Just the first 4.
Just the first 4. All right,
we'll
be back in a minute to wrap up episode 13 of RV Family Travel Atlas.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. Don't forget to go to our website, livelylittlecampers.com, and sign up to win a 2-night getaway to the KOA in Westchester. And also, don't forget to give us an iTunes review for either a chance to win a Creative Action Network poster or a copy of The Long, Long Trailer.
Yeah, we're giving away 4 of them. Also, join us next week as we do a deep think film review of Christopher Nolan's Interstellar and as we talk about the new Star Wars trailer for 25 minutes or more.
We are taking the concept of road trip to a whole nother level, folks. And I will be debuting our script for our own version of The Long, Long Trailer.
That's right. Jeremy and Stephanie starring in a new remake of The Long, Long Trailer. Actually, Roseanne Barr and John Goodman were going to do a new version of The Long, Long Trailer, and then they got divorced.
Well, hopefully we'll make it.
Marriage will survive. Also, join us next week as I talk about 10 Airstreams and review them in detail. And of course, we'll never actually get to buy one of them.
Probably not. You'd have to work on your newspaper obsession.
I want an Airstream so bad it hurts.
Then become a minimalist.
When we retire, can we get an Airstream, please?
No.
Pretty please.
Talk to you next week.